the sermon. Beloved congregation, Naaman had to learn to live by the word. That word came to him, and through that word he began to seek healing for his deadly disease. In that way, he was uncovered to his pride. He had to die to his own wisdom, to his I thought. He had to let go his own thoughts about how God should heal him. He had to learn to obey and to trust the bare word of the promise. Congregation, have you come to Christ at his word of promise with your spiritual leprosy? In your and in my heart also naturally lives that proud Naaman existence, which does not want to be helped by the simple word of God. If you live on like this, you will die in your spiritual leprosy. But when you are convinced by God's Spirit and moved in obedience, then you will experience what Naaman experienced when he came out of the Jordan River. Instantly clean. No probationary period. The waters of grace through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses immediately, makes a sinner perfectly clean. God bestows that grace on anyone who ventures to Christ at his word. As soon as a sinner embraces Christ by faith, his perfect righteousness is imputed to him. That life bears fruit. As theme we put above the sermon this evening, the healed Naaman. 3 points. First, his confession. Secondly, his gratitude. And lastly, his lifestyle. The healed Naaman, his confession, his gratitude, his lifestyle. Think of it. Hardly has the top Syrian general discovered his recovery coming out of the water when he feels the need to return to Elisha. Yes, we see that not only his body but also his heart has been radically and fundamentally changed. Read it in verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. As soon as God's grace is glorified in sinners, it becomes manifest. This is still the case today. A short while ago, Naaman angrily turned his back on the prophet and left in a huff. But now he has the desire that all saved sinners have
Which desire?
Well, the desire to have fellowship with God's people, His children. Naaman felt the need not only to show the prophet his gratitude for the physical healing, but also to confess that Elisha's God has been also become his God. His return to the man of God is not in vain. This time it's not necessary for Elisha to communicate with him indirectly, so he doesn't have to send out a servant like the first time. No. He can hear Naaman's confession eye to eye. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. What do you think? How often would Elisha have heard that confession in Israel? Out of the mouth of an Israelite. If even one chapter earlier, the Lord had to say to King Ahaziah in 2 Kings 1 verse 6, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baal-zebub, the God of Ekron? Here we hear the confession of a pagan. It's short, but it's striking. Although he was brought up in the idolatry of Rimmon from childhood, by this confession he breaks with the idols of his own country. He has not first attended lectures about the existence of the divine being. That was not necessary. A soul is effectively taught when it partakes of saving grace. Here, listen how sure this newly converted person is of his case. Now I know. That's the assurance of faith of which we read in Hebrews 10 verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Congregation, we have been taught through much biblical, but also education from catechism and preaching. Has that preaching had an effect on our lives? So that a confession is made from the heart with conviction, so that fruit is brought forth? Naaman did. Without having received any instruction beforehand, he now by faith confesses Israel's God to be the only true God. It's similar to what the Belgian Confession says in Article 1. We all believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is one only simple and spiritual being. Can I confess this? Confess it from the heart? The genuineness of Naaman's confession is also shown by the fact that he is not ashamed one bit. For his confession does not take place within the four walls of the house of the prophet. No! It can be heard in the middle of the street. In the public, because all his company, all his subjects are there too. Congregation, young and old. Especially you, young people who are growing up and learning to think more and more for yourselves. Have you done confession of faith yet? Is that desire growing in your heart? Can you say it with the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 verse 16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Or are you trying to be a silent disciple of Christ? At university, in your work, is it really possible to keep your mouth shut when you have come to know something of God's work of grace in your life personally? Young people, boys and girls, what happens if somebody likes somebody else? Somebody falls in love with somebody else. Well, you can hear the other one talking and talking about him or her over and over. In recess time, you're talking about her. You're talking about him. And while you're having a coffee, what do you think? If Christ hath quickened your soul from death, would you not speak of it? And would you not share the good news? Of course. Because grace not only brings to confession, but also makes us thankful. We see it in our second thought. When we see Naaman's gratitude. Grace has made this great military general Naaman a small man. Grace has humbled him. Because just like the one healed leprous Samaritan in Luke 17, this pagan Naaman returns to show Elisha his gratitude. Yes, he is humbled. Just hear, just listen how he speaks. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Thy servant! That arrogant tone from verses 11 and 12, they have completely disappeared. The way of salvation by grace, which equates him to a beggar, has dealt his pride the death blow. Thy servant. Naaman wants to give a blessing, a gift to the prophet to express his gratitude. He had plenty with him. We read it earlier. 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Congregation, where divine grace works, it becomes clear to the bystanders. Someone who has fully surrendered to God cannot possibly hide that fact from others. He won't want to either. The new inner spiritual life manifests itself in the outer life. Boys and girls, think of examples in God's Word. What do you think? Zacchaeus, the chief among the publicans, what did he do? when he became a partaker of God's kingdom,
what did he do?
He gave half of his goods to the poor, and he gave a fourfold restitution to those he had robbed. What did Saul of Tarsus do when he was converted? What did he ask the Lord? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And from then on, he walked in sweet obedience. And what did the jailer of Philippi do when he came into contact with the message of the gospel? He took Paul and Silas into his house, washed their wounds, and fed them food. Congregation, do we by grace do the same? Does our daily conduct testify of what Christ has done for us? Or is your confession only like a tree with lots of leaves but no fruit? The prophet's response is very clear. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Elisha refuses to accept Naaman's reward and confirms it with an oath. Why? Couldn't the prophet have put the money to good use for the sons of the prophets? Was it illegal to take the gift? No. But Naaman must know well that God is a God of pure and of sovereign grace. And that grace is free. If Elisha had taken the gift, Naaman might have thought, well, we have dealt fairly with that. Now we're even. Let's go back to Syria. We've done with it now. But that's not how it works with the God of Israel. What God gives can't be paid for. All God asks is life. Naaman must not continue in his old ways. Things are different now. Every day is a day for the God of Israel, who saved him. His confession in Syria must be that God had received nothing from him but his leprosy. Naaman's gold and silver are useless in the dealings with him who gives all for nothing. It pleases God to be the giver. Beloved congregation, if you want to please God, come to him as a recipient. Keep coming to him as a beggar. Listen to David in Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, David repays the Lord by wanting to receive more from him. Showing gratitude to the Lord in life means expecting more, everything and always from him. for time and for eternity. That's showing gratitude. Coming to the Lord with your empty hands and trusting in Him that He will give everything I need. Now finally, our last thought, his lifestyle. Then, if Elisha will not accept a gift from him, well, will the prophet withhold another request from him? Which request? Well, read it in verse 17. Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burdens of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto the other gods, but unto the Lord. Did you notice the humble tone in his speaking again? Again we hear him say, thy servant. His pride really got the death blow. But here we also see further growth in grace. For this man does not demand a burden of earth, nor does he want to buy it, but he asks, I pray thee, let it be given. And that is what grace teaches a saved sinner. Not only humility, but also to live by grace. To live by grace alone. To live by that what is granted. I pray thee, let it be given. Do we exercise such a life? Do we know anything about that life? The life of a spiritual beggar? To live by that, not what is earned. No, by that what is granted. The life of sanctification in God's children is a lifelong process that begins with justification. We see it in the life of Naaman, because there still are some things that are wrong in his life. What? Well, someone might have to smile at the words about the soil transport. What does Naaman think about the soil? Naaman must have become a quite enthusiastic believer if he wants to take home a pile of dirt from the garden from the prophet of Israel. What does the general of the army in Syria want to do with that dirt? Well, we see that Naaman's faith is not yet entirely free from error. It's still at an initial stage. His knowledge needs to increase. His old man must continue to be mortified. His new man must be quickened. We saw that he needed correction regarding his view of God's free and sovereign grace. But also this request to take some soil from the holy land for an altar to the God of Israel in Syria is part of it. Though this shows his heartfelt faith, It is an error to think that one part of the earth is holier than another part of the earth. Actually, we may think that this man first needs a couple of catechism lessons. He doesn't understand everything yet. Just wait till he had some lessons, right? That's what we think. Well, maybe we have to learn something tonight. Why? Well, what this man wants to do is not a superstitious worship of soil of Israel. No, he wants to honor God at home. And so he requests to bring some soil along to his home to build an altar for the God of Israel. This request is a biblical request. For we read in Exodus 20, verse 24, "An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee." Hence, Elisha does not object to Naaman's request. The prophet knows that faith, if it is sincere, will be purified by the Spirit. When a soul has tasted that the Lord is merciful, the spirit of worship takes possession of him or her. Then heartfelt love for him is poured out in great reverence. You may have your own thoughts about Naaman's soil transport. But do we have an altar? Do we have a place where we serve the Lord in our homes? At work? In the office? I fear Naaman is more advanced in family worship than many of us today. Let us try, in dependency on the Lord, to put family worship into practice in our homes. Let us start singing psalters after our meals. Let us start asking each other questions about what we have read from God's Word. And let us ask each other how to apply that to our heart. Let us start to end the day, or to begin the day together with scripture reading and with prayer. I hope, and I know, that there are among us who know and who have experienced the blessing that can give us. In verse 18, Naaman comes up with something else. His conscience speaks to him. And this we see, that his own wisdom has also been humbled. Do we recognize it in our own lives? If we may know something of grace, humbled by the Lord? Thy servant, but also our wisdom humbled. He's thinking, when he comes home later and his king goes to the temple of the idol Rimmon, and Naaman, on whom the king leans, so he has to go along with the king, children. When his king goes to the temple of Rimmon, Naaman has to go along. He must go. And then also he must bow down for the idol Rimmon. Then he will get into a huge conflict. To whom is he to be loyal? He does not ask Elijah. No, what does he do? He asks the Lord in the presence of Elijah if the Lord will forgive him. What does Elisha say? Well, Elisha's pastoral heart senses Naaman's consciousness. He could have come up with all kinds of regulations and prohibitions and commandments. He could have also reassured him unjustly. But he does neither of them. He only says, go in peace. Naaman, don't fight about it. There's so much war in this world. You know it as the top general of Assyria. Go in peace. Naaman must go his own way. Not before the people, but before God. Elisha appears not to be concerned about his case. The man of God entrusts him to God's guidance. If Naaman is convinced that he needs forgiveness, then he will always seek peace with God, even in Syria. After all, peace in the heart is only experienced when the conscience is clean and pure before God. When is that other than when a sinner is reconciled to God? Therefore, just follow your heart, Naaman. If you feel that peace is leaving your heart, then don't do it. Then you're wrong. Be faithful in the service of the Lord. If it is right between you and the Lord, then he will guide you and show you the way to Damascus and in Damascus. Go in peace. Go with God. Congregation, that's how we now go home. That's how we now depart from one another. What about this week with all those decisions we have to make in our family, at work, in business, in the consistory? What about the many dilemmas we have to deal with that can overwhelm us? Go in peace. Keep your conscience clean. That's also how we may say farewell to each other at the end of the service. And when we receive the Lord's blessing, go in peace. How else would we like to go our way? But always hiding in the Lord Jesus, for he is our peace. This history implicitly condemns the people of Israel. This Gentile finds healing for his body and soul, while many in Israel do not need God. That's why the Lord Jesus uses Naaman as an example for the unbelievers in Nazareth, as we read in Luke 4. It almost cost him his life. Beloved congregation, is this word not also needed today, particularly for privileged church people who have for many years heard the word of God and up until now still live outside of Christ's saving and atoning righteousness? Naaman is healed, and by grace comes to know a fruitful life. And we? Will other Gentiles in this country come to true conversion and enter into the kingdom of God while we perish?